Lord, we just pause and we take in this opportunity to spend it not only with you, but those that you've brought us in relationship with. Lord, we're a big family, and it's not just localized to this area, but even as we heard reports on Thursday from Cambodia, as well as Africa today, that's all part of our family. And we love it. So help us, Lord, this morning to hear the things that we need to hear with the abilities that you give us for opportunities to walk it out. Anything less than that is just being a hearer only. So we choose today to be a hearer and a doer so we're not deceived. So with that, Lord, we know we're here. But more than anything else, we're realizing that truly you are here. And we welcome you. And we invite you to move around and make some adjustments in our lives. To sit by a few of us just to encourage them. To move around the aisles to make sure that marriages are being healed. That parents are finding strength and wisdom as they're raising up these gifts that you've brought them. And for those that need healing, even in their own body, as we prayed for Snake's friend, we would also continue to pray for the magnificent work you're doing in the life of our pastor. And we know we're in for some good times because we serve one amazing God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. My wife and I were at the home group on Thursday, and we got to hear from Eddie and Bethany, and just a little bit more from them. And I got to tell you, I shared this with Bethany. I haven't been the same. I walked out on Thursday with just a sense of awe of what God's doing through these two. It didn't occur to me until they shared that they are literally called by God to change a country and a people. And it's not if, it's when. It will happen. And so Bethany and Eddie, who's not here, and your beautiful daughter, it's such a privilege to have you here today. And as a church, we don't just pray and just support you. We feel like we're on your team. Can you give him a hand? And then we just heard about Africa. And wow. Africa is a lot closer to my wife and I these days. Our youngest, our daughter Brittany and her husband Austin, have been called to South Africa, and they're there. And they're right in Stellenbosch, and they surprised us with some big, big news a few months ago, actually a few weeks really ago, that we're all as a family, and the young family, expecting our first grandson. So, Africa is a little closer to my heart. Good stuff. I woke up today early, and the Lord impressed upon me that this was more of an urgent message. He's put something in my heart, and I just want to let you know that I'm really asking God to convey that message, and it has a lot to do with this. The God's plan this whole time for us is that we would grow up in Him. You know, we come into this spiritual family as a baby. The Bible calls it to be born again. You don't have to go back to your mom to be born again. This is of the Spirit. Regardless of what age you came to the Lord, we all came to Him as a baby. And this baby needed some help. Even Jesus came to this world as an infant, as a baby, even one of his own creations. He humbled himself. And so as the baby grew, and as you grow in your walk with the Lord, he wants us to continue to grow. The only problem is sometimes we go from being a baby to a toddler to a child, and we've been hanging around this church thing for a long time, and sometimes we get a little comfortable, and we might be at a certain age today, or how long you might say you've been in the church, but maybe spiritually today you're only in sixth grade. It'd be an interesting thing to think about that. I came to the Lord at the age of 5. I'm embarrassed to tell you how old I am, because now after what I just said, you're going to compare my spiritual maturity with my age, so we will not go there. But it's fun being 23. I look forward to having more years in front of me. But there's just something about it. So today I've entitled this, Growing Through. And if you want the other part of that, since you're here, growing through onto maturity. That's his plan. That is found everywhere in the Word. And today we're going to go on a little bit of a road trip. We're not going to be mining for gold, going deep, digging deep and deep. Today we're going to go on a little bit of a road trip to travel around the Scriptures, if that's okay with you. And we're going to stop at some rest stops and listen to the things that we need to hear from the Lord. In Hebrews 6, 1, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Now, he's not saying forsake it and leave, disconnect with the doctrine. That's our foundation. But he is saying, with the foundation that we have in Christ, let's move on, or let's build on it now. If you ever walked by or driven by a construction area, there's a lot of work done deep and down into the earth to cause some strength that's needed to form a foundation before any structure is ever seen. They dig down deep first. And once they have the proper foundation for the proper size building or office or house, then they'll start building, but it's always on the foundation. I think sometimes we get acquainted with church and we feel in many ways like, I just want to stay with this familiarness that I have. It might show up with familiar worship that I'm used to, which is great. There's nothing like a song from the past that will bring you back there. We were watching a DVD the other day with my mother-in-law, and there were some old songs on there, and my wife looked at each other, and we felt like we were back years ago at a church that we were on staff with in the 80s. Music will do that, but I think sometimes the familiarness and our desire to be comfortable can actually get in the way of us growing. I think he stirs it up many a time, does he not? In our lives, he shakes us up and goes, hey, you're sitting too long. Or, you know, you got all this stuff, great, but I need it because this is my only plan to win the world. There's no option B. It's my church, and there's no other plan. It was written in pen, not pencil. So God has a plan and purpose for you today, and it has nothing to do with how comfortable you are on where you've been with the Lord or where you think you're going to stay with the Lord. He's not going to let you stay there. He needs you and wants you to experience the other things that he has for you, the very things he created for you to experience and to do. So his plans and purposes today are amazing. This whole thing about growing into maturity, it's going to hurt a little bit in this service, but it's going to be a good hurt. Spiritual maturity is not necessarily measured by time or our age. It is measured and determined by our obedience. I want you to chew on that for a moment. See, we're the first to say when someone says to us, hey, how long have you known the Lord? Oh, man, 80 years. But if we dig in a little deeper, we begin to hear not an 80-year-old worth of experience and maturity in the Lord. It may be way, way down lower into the grade school level. This is a message to help you and I be encouraged to lift our head, lift up our lives, and say, Lord, what's next? No longer do I want to be comfortable. I want to progress. I want to know you more. I want to experience you more. I want to see all the bells and whistles that you created me with to start working. I want to see the things that I'm supposed to see through your eyes. I want my heart to begin to beat the way that you created it to beat after this world. And so there are some things that happen. When you look at the scriptures, it's very obvious. In fact, I just found out doing this that when I was studying that there's more verses about a newborn, a baby in Christ than there is fathers and mothers. Yet we're supposed to be moving into these areas, these different stages of growth in the Lord. And I got thinking about that, and one research brought me to this, that it may be that there are fewer verses dealing with young men and fathers and mothers, young men and women and fathers and mothers in the scriptures, because maybe there were not that many. They kind of stayed childlike. And childlike's great, but the comparison is not to be a child, but like a child. He didn't say be a newborn forever. He said be a newborn and thirst after pure milk. Yes, no solids, because you've got a weak tummy. You can't handle a lot of other things, but what you need is the solid milk from the Lord, and we'll grow. But at some point, that baby starts to get up and walk, and it needs something else. It needs solid food. But the other reason is maybe there's not a whole lot of emphasis in the scriptures about the young men and women and fathers and mothers, maybe because they're mature enough where they no longer needed to be reminded. I want to be there. Lord, many times has to remind us and remind us and remind us. And I think in many ways we've kind of been on a treadmill. We're moving, but we're really not going as far as we need to go. Well, there's four stages in this. One is, yes, a baby. It's a baby stage. It's found in 1 Peter 2:2. And it says, as newborn babes desire or crave pure milk of the word, that you may grow up. That's where we all started. And that pure milk helped to get us to the point where we were stable. But he didn't say stay there. I'd love to see each week that we're encouraging one another to take the next step, to be what Christ has already given us, because it's already in there. And if it's not a baby stage, then we also have to talk about being the child. There is a child emphasis that is in us as we start growing in the Lord. In the physical world, I have to tell you, when you think of a baby, you think of someone who needs to be taken care of. They need to be changed. They need to be fed. They need to be dressed. They need to be comforted. We're always praying, Lord, this would be a good time for the baby to fall asleep. I'm exhausted. Those kinds of prayers are given as well. But they think in most of the time that they're the only ones in the world, you know. It's like it's all about me. When you think about a child, someone who's older, the scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says that when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that spiritually when we're a child and we're really self-focused, that we're kind of tossed to and fro and we're open to being deceived by crafty men and their messages other than Christ. So even in the church, if they were a child, they could very well be deceived because there wasn't a lot of root structure. There wasn't a lot of experience yet on the knowledge and the information they were hearing. They were still a child. And so God wants us to grow from the baby stage to the child, but then there's more. But this is about where we stay. It's very discouraging, especially in leadership, to see leaders that are not growing. That means their congregations are not growing. That means there's no teaching on there is another step. I love Grace Vineyard because there's such an emphasis on all levels at all time. Then there's the young adult stage. And this is interesting. There's some scriptures found in 1 John. Write down 1 John 2:14, actually 13 and 14, and you're going to find a few things. I won't turn there. But as a young adult in Christ, that stage is, the scriptures say, the scriptures notice the strength that they're starting to have because they're not just reading the word, they're applying it, and the word of God is saying, I love the strength that now is coming out of you as not just a baby or a child, but a young man and woman of God now that you're a young adult. It's coming out of you. Not only is there a strong strength that comes out of you, but it also talks about overcoming the evil one, which means, if you look at that, to get strength in your faith, you have to be tested. James talks about that, and we're going to go to that in just a minute. But just a heads up, it doesn't come because you've got a few quarters and you put it in the spiritual vending machine and you get your strength for the week. It's not that way. The only time we get strength is what faith that we do have is either tested or applied, and applying is testing. And God's not setting you up to fail. His test is to show you your progress. You have a measurement to go, wow, thank you, Lord. My prayers are changing. The way that I view you, the way that I see you, the way I operate with you is changing. And he gives us opportunity to see a measurement that we can compare with where we were 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago. And he does a lot of that for us. He knows where we are. But that's the strength that gives us an opportunity to apply the things that we know or we've heard him say, and now he gives us an opportunity to make it experiential instead of just head knowledge. We will stay as a child if it's just up in here. But we will move on to maturity if it leaves our head and goes into my experiencing my faith in him. I get to apply it and I get the goods from it. There are things that are not happening here in San Diego because the body of Christ has not met up with itself yet. We don't even know who they are yet. We know who we are here, but there's a much bigger, broader picture of the body of Christ, and God has called us to minister to the city. We might be in North County, but we're part of San Diego County, and as we do our part here, it connects to East County, it connects to South Bay, it connects to San Diego, and that's what God sees. He sees us as a body because he's the head, and he wants to operate through each one of us because that's his plan. So if we're moving backwards instead of forward, I think it affects his plan because we are his only plan. So when we look at this, we move into the final stage found in Hebrews 4:14. It's the level called fathers and mothers stage, and we need a whole lot of others coming up right behind this stage. You may not feel like you're qualified, and it has nothing to do with your age. It has everything to do where God has led you, and you've actually followed him into it. That's the beauty. He allows us to experience things, and then we look, and there's others that need what we just went through, and we begin to father or mother. You can call it mentorship. You can call it discipleship. call it whatever you want, but God wants us to influence the others, because the others coming up, we need their strength. We need their faith. We need their gifts and abilities. It strengthens the body of Christ. The body of Christ that wouldn't fit in this room. The body of Christ that's reaching Africa, that's reaching Cambodia, that's reaching every area of the world, we're part of it, even though we're not there. We're part of the body that is there, because he's the head of it. So as we look at this, look at Hebrews 5:14. It says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age." Now, he's not talking about how old you are, but in the faith. "Even those who by reason or by habit have their sense excited to discern both good and evil." So there is a maturing that happens in our lives where we literally move from these stages, and your prayer should be, "Lord, get me to the next stage. I don't want to stay where I'm at." You know, there was a lady years ago that was a school teacher, and she had desired to be moved up into this one position that would be more of a regional opportunity for her to affect more students. And she was really disappointed one day when she found out that that position had been filled and they did not ask her. So she was so bothered by it that she went in and she said, "You know, I have been here and a few other schools and in teaching experience for 22 years, and I'm just a little upset and kind of shocked that you didn't ask me to be part of this new position." And they said, "Well, you have been here for 22 years. The problem is you have had 1 year of experience 22 times. That'll wake you up. The Lord doesn't do that. I just did. But you see where I'm going with this? I want us to take an account to consider where we are. The Lord's not going to wake you up and go, "You know, you're 17 years behind in your spiritual growth." He doesn't do that. He's so faithful to come alongside of us. He's loving. He's kind. His mercies are new every day. And you're on his mind every day. And he says, "I just love you." In fact, he loves us in such a way that it's that very love that we receive for him that causes us to change. But I want you and I to figure out where we are. We're not going to pass the mic around and go, "Well, you know, I've known the Lord for 20 years, but I really only have 4 months of experience." That's not what we're going to do here today. But you do need to email it by the end of the week with a small picture. And then next week, we'll have a slideshow and then we'll get to see. Is that okay? All right. The Lord lets us examine ourselves. We do that before communion, don't we? He says, "Before you partake of the elements, examine yourself." And that means, do I have the right heart? Do I know what I am remembering about Jesus and what he did for me? And so we examine, we take a time to say, "Okay, where am I with this?" And I want you to do that with this message. This is a very interactive message between the Holy Spirit and the spirit that he put in you and your soul. This you're going to get more out of this if you take this home and go, "Lord, where am I? Am I where I'm supposed to be, or am I behind?" And it doesn't mean I speed up. It just means, "Lord, I'm sorry." Because this has more to do with getting mature as a result of you following him, seeking him, and also being obedient to what he's asking you to do. Someone said to me a long time ago, "Well, I've missed it so many times. He has said something to me, and I know I have failed." Have you ever been there? It's like, I know he wanted me to do that, but I feel like I didn't, and I wasted it. And they said, "You know, if you ever feel that way, just go back and do the last thing he asked you to do, because it hasn't changed. Just go back. When did you hear from him? When did you leave the conversation? Go back to it and say, Lord, here I am. We'll start right here. Is that okay? And he goes, yes, he came back. Let's go. So today, as you're listening and as you're taking this home with you, Titus 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, the aged, and it's not talking about your age, your spiritual experience that you have and you can offer, with women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming more holy and no longer false accusers, not given to too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. You see this whole family concept in the Gospels and in the body of Christ? We're all part of each other. And I love that some cultures really operate more in bringing the family together. That every time there's a birthday, every time someone finally tied his shoe by himself or whatever, there's this big party and they bring in the whole family. I love that. And I think that's what Christ's heart is as well. That we should be so in touch with each other that we're all about celebrating what's going on in the lives of people around us. And also to feel the support and the encouragement from those around us. Because it's one big family. So there's times when we need mom and dad and our young adults and our children and hold our babies as a family. I think that's what church is. I think it's more evident in this kind of setting and format than maybe during the week. So this is like, I've had a busy week, but I'm going to go join the family this Sunday, and we're going to meet up again. How are you doing? I prayed for you last week. Hey, thanks for sending that email. That's exactly what I needed. And we get to carry on not only a conversation, but we get to grow together. Number two would be this. Our spiritual maturity really isn't an option. We think it is. The Lord doesn't say, okay, how far you want to go? Okay, I'll work with it. No, when he rescued you, when he came in your life and started to rearrange it and add himself to you, the plan was never, we'll bring you up to here and then that will be fine. He wanted to come into your life and totally make it work the way that he created your life to work. Which means there's this ongoing growth, this ongoing relationship we have with him that we get to experience. And as we experience that growth and experience, that's what we share with each other. Ephesians talks a lot about the role or the positions to help what? Equip the church, to be the church so that we will all have opportunity of doing our part in the body. We're all called. You are all ministers. You're all ministers, which means you have a part in this to strengthen the body. Another word for minister or ministry is serve or serving. Can you serve? Well, you're a minister. Are you serving, ministering? Then you're serving. And it's unique to you. We don't want to all look the same and do the same thing. There's only so many people that can actually greet someone at the door. We need to know what he's put in you, and we want to enhance that and give you an opportunity to grow in Christ by doing the things he's wanting you to do. In Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food is for the mature, who by opportunity you will be trained and training yourself to distinguish between good and evil. So right now we see that he wants us to grow and the word of God is going to help us, but we need to start eating some solid food. We need to start eating some things that are going to help us get stronger so that we can serve in a deeper way and in a way that's going to affect many more lives because we're operating in who he is in me, and that solid food is going to give us the spiritual strength that we need. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, very familiar, but it's beautiful. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. I love that. It doesn't just contain the Word of God. It doesn't just have the Word of God in it. It is God-breathed. It's His very thoughts. And when we read it, we need to hear it as though He's speaking directly to us because He is. It's the only book of its kind. Once again, it doesn't contain. No, it has the breath of God in it. That's why it's so powerful. And it only ministers to the Spirit. So that's the idea. You want your spirit, the one He gave you, to grow. And as you and the Lord grow together, it will start affecting the way you think. It will start affecting the ways that you come up with decisions. And even your emotions are going to feel different. The problem is, without the Word of God, we kind of set ourselves up to be a little bit more on the deception side on who's in control of our life. So if we're running off our emotions, then we're going to have a very up and down week. One call comes in, you just won the lottery, it's $17 billion, you're excited. And 2 minutes later, your friend calls and go, gotcha, yeah, that's my emotions went from here to... Thank you, I hate you. So that's emotions. He didn't say live your Christian life or as a believer, live a faith based on how you feel. He did say my spirit is everything you need and you don't have to depend or be driven by the way you feel. Only by the spirit. That happens in our mind, our thinking, our decisions, and how we feel. So as the Spirit grows, and the only way it does grow is having an ongoing relationship with Jesus, the Word of God is called the bread of life. There's other names for it, but it gives you that picture that we are to consume it. And it will find the right places in us to bring strength, and it will actually build our faith up. Now here we go. Number three, I'm watching my time, which doesn't mean anything right now. Number three is this. So we went from God has a plan and purpose. He wants us to grow. We have the four stages of how we grow in the Lord, as also we also do in our own physical body, but today is focusing on the spiritual side. And then not only that, but that spiritual maturity is not an option. And then the third one is grow through what you go through. Let me unpack that a little bit. It actually confused me too, and I came up with it. Grow through what you go through. So let's say today you're following me and the Holy Spirit's talking to you and you realize, you know what? I don't want to continue to live at the same place in my comfort zone and go nowhere in Christ. There's so much more that He wants me to experience. And I don't even know what it is, but I'm excited. So, Lord, here I am today. Well, then how do you grow? Well, I want you to stop where you are. Let's just rewind your life the past month or year. Have you been going through some pretty hard things? Have you been faced with things that you thought, boy, this would be a good time for me to ignore it, squirm out of it, or medicate myself, or keep myself busy because this is the most horrendous thing I've ever been challenged with. I don't want to deal with. Have you ever been there? Well, We need to see it in a different way because that's the very thing that God will use. If He brought it in your life or not, He will use to cause you, as James would say, being completed, being strong, coming out with the goods. God uses hard situations to reveal areas in our lives where He desires deeper growth and maturity. To be honest, the only way we can grow is when we're at a point when we realize we don't have control to change anything. Up to that point, we were in charge. And we wouldn't even need him because we were in charge. Thanks, Lord. I'll take it from here. Appreciate your help. I got it. Finally, I got it. Thanks. Right about that time, you usually start encouraging some things that are out of your control for real. And you find yourself on your knees going, Lord, I don't even know what to do here. And he goes, yes, I can help you now. Because this life, it was never meant for you to be created to do it by yourself. It was always created that we together, that I would operate through you and you would be willing to be operated in me. Grow through what you go through. Let's turn to James 1, verses 2 through 5. James, half-brother of Jesus, you know the story, was not really a believer or a leader at the time until he saw his brother violently killed and then rose again on the third day. Something tells me what he said about himself was actually true, and he became one of the first amazing pastors. Interesting note about James, we know he was a prayer warrior. He spent a lot of time on his knees because his nickname was Camel Knees. Today, in this area, he would have been a great surfer. But he was on his knees a lot, praying. So the Lord radically changed his life. But he writes this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials and many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. But let perseverance finish its work so that you will be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, so here we are, Lord, there's a lot going on in my life, a lot of things I didn't sign up for relationally, at the job, in my neighborhood, in myself, my car, all these things are going on. Lord, I think I have to turn to you. I need your help. And he's going, yeah. And we turn to him and then we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How should I handle this? That's a good question. Because if we're asking for wisdom, he says in the next part of this, and we'll read it, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault or making you feel guilty. He will provide it for you. That's why we can consider it joy, because this is bigger than you. God is partnering in with you, saying, you see all these things going on around you and you don't even know where to start or begin or what you can and can't do, should do, could have done. And then you say, Lord, I just need your help. And he gives you a whole different perspective on what's going on. First of all, he gives you grace and mercy. And he starts aiming at your faith. And he goes, I know you love me and I love you. I know that you would do anything for me. And I've already done that for you. I just want you to know that you're going to be okay, because this has not come to defeat you. This has come to raise you. The very prayers that you prayed a few months ago, I am finally answering, and I'm bringing hardship to come alongside of you because I've already put something in you that needs to be activated. You already have what you need. I need you to apply the things that you already know about me. And when you apply it, it becomes yours. And your faith goes from here to here. It's tested. The test results are in, and it's measurable. Wow, Lord, I think I trust you more. Yeah, that's what it shows, doesn't it? Lord, bring it on. That's the growing through the things you go through. He's already at work in you. The message of today doesn't start it. It's a reminder of what's going on. So whatever you're facing right now, it might have something to do with your health. your hairline, your finances, your relationships, your coworkers, your mission, your passions, your desires, your hobbies. It will affect every area. Why? Because he wants to affect you. He doesn't want to take you out of it. He wants to do something in you and then walk you through it. See, sometimes he does come and he goes, wow, that's a big storm, and I speak still, and there's a holy stillness. He's done that, has he not, in our lives? There's a great calm, but that's not the only thing he does. Sometimes it's more profitable for us to go through the storm with Jesus than avoiding the storm. And when we go through the stuff with Jesus, we come out on the other side with an elevated faith. Our prayers start changing. Even things we ask for and how we ask for starts changing. Our worship changes. And wherever that comfort level was doesn't exist anymore, and we can't find it if we try to go back to it because we've been changed. Can I hear an amen? This would be a good place. Okay, don't overdo it. The Grace Talks people think it's canned. But here's where we are today. And I know it's almost 3 o'clock. I'm wrapping up. Landing the plane. Graham Cook said this. Spiritual, immature people whine and ask why when they encounter trials. But warriors ask, what do you want me to learn? And how can I honor you in this situation? Let me throw in the other part to this. We need to change the way we think about hardship. Every believer is a soldier for God, but warriors are made by the test of battle. Every hardship that we encounter is an opportunity to advance in our faith and in our intimacy with Christ. We all need to become warriors. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. True spiritual maturity is not measured by time or our age. It is measured and determined by our obedience. So what is it that he has said or is asking today of you? For some, he may be saying some things that are going to help you reset that relationship with him. You're going to go back to the things that you know he never told you to stop doing. So today, some of you in this place can't really grow in your faith because you have not yet been born. Babies can only grow when they're born. So if you don't know Christ today and you've realized, I've been around this, but I have not been in it, I know about him, but I don't know him. What a perfect opportunity for you to send a prayer from your heart to the great heart of God saying, Lord, come in. I can't handle my life, nor am I supposed to be in control of it, and I surrender. I don't quit. I surrender. Lord, come into my life. And begin to use all the things that are going on, the things that are out of my control, so it would start with the faith that you've given me, and in time, that faith will grow and grow and grow. And others will begin to see this change occur, even without me telling them, because it's that obvious. If you just prayed that prayer, and I would want you to lift your hand, just getting some attention here, just so I can say, you know, afterwards, I or anyone else would just love to pray with you and just confirm some things and get you moving in the right direction. If that's you, just lift your hand. You might have come, and in this time, you've been born again. You have been born into this family, but you don't really know how far along in the process of growing with Him you've come. But today, the Holy Spirit's been, in a very loving way, He's been saying, it's time. It's time. And you would just send a heart prayer to His, saying, Lord, I'm back on track with You. I'm even going in the right direction with You now. And I just want to say that I will be on bended knee, and my eyes will begin to read the Word so that it can get in me again, because my faith has dwindled. It has been on life support. And I'm asking God that You do CPR on me today in my spiritual life. It needs You. I'm in urgent care with You. Maybe you're one that has gone through those stages, but you're stuck in the child stage. Hasn't been a lot of growing up. There's still a lot of selfishness and a lot of entitlements and a lot of, well, I'm mad at God because, you know, this happened. Or, you know, I was doing so well, and you kind of stay in that child mode. And the Lord would remind you, I never left. I was just using that so that we would know each other better, and I could lean in on you to have you do some more things in this body of Christ thing. But you quit on me. And I'm asking you, come home. Or maybe today you find yourself at a place where you have allowed the Lord to do a lot of things, but you still don't see the benefit of your experience and your faith that has grown over the years. And now God wants you to turn your eyes from you to those around you, that you would be a father and mother of the faith to those that are up and coming. We need every level. We just don't need you to stay at that level. A healthy body is moving. A healthy body is moving forward. A healthy body is maturing. It's changing. Lord, today we present ourselves to You. And we don't know what's going to happen on the other side of these doors, but we now know who's with us and how You will already use the things that are going on in our lives so that we'll know You better, deeper. And instead of asking why, we will say, Lord, what is it in this time that I need to learn? What is it that I need to be mindful of watching You come through that's going to help prepare me for the things You've actually called me to do? It's never too late to grow through onto maturity. So Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. God may first want to do something powerful in you before He can do something big through you. And I think that's what He's doing. God bless you guys.